I sometimes like to sing those my own rendition. How's that? Psalm 57 this morning. Psalm 57. It's fitting that we should look at this psalm because it reflects a man who was in hiding, a man who was hunkered down, a man who was holed up by himself under great stress, under great pressure. Even though he was stressed out, he was still singing. In fact, it ends as a psalm of songs. Here's a man who was under the gun, under pressure, running as it were from a virus, only the virus was a person, not a disease. It was a person by the name of Saul. And David's running from him, and he finds hope and he finds help from his relationship with Almighty God. You know, this past week, we've heard about the physical consequences of the virus. We've heard about the financial consequences of the virus and all other type of consequences, economic, social, and so forth. But few have talked about the spiritual price of the virus. Few have talked about the spiritual necessities that come because of this virus, the impact of it. You know, in this passage here in Psalm 57, the word heaven appears four times. The psalmist, in his circumstance, looked above the earth to heaven, and he found hope and help. This is essential. When they say from the government on down that we should close everything that's non-essential, I'm not sure we should close the house of God. We have done it in order to be a blessing and a safety net to our people. But of all essential services, certainly the gathering assembly of God's people is so important. Psalm 92 says, those that are planted in the house of the Lord of God, their Lord, their God, shall be fruitful. They shall still bring forth fruit in their old age. They will be fat and flourishing. You know, the safest place to be is in the will of God. The safest place to be is to be right with God. And the psalmist found safety here. The psalmist found security. He found great strength. We live in a day of much emotional and psychological fear. Stress seems to be at an all-time high. And believers, sometimes as Christians, we use stress and our problems as an excuse for laziness or carelessness or backsliding. We ought not to do this. I don't believe that God ever meant for his people to collapse in a time of catastrophe or calamity. If you want to know how bad it was, let's look at the passage. And if you can, stand with me, we'll read it. Psalm 57, in respect to the word of God, we'll read it standing together, if able to. But it says, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions. I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They've prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They've digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves, Selah. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. You may be seated. Amazing passage of scripture. And I believe that the psalmist here unfolds for us the three keys that will help us to be strong in the time of crisis, to overcome in the day of adversity, to not give in to calamity when it comes. I find that we can discover rest, we can discover peace, we can discover hope, we can discover true security in Christ in the day of trouble. You do not have to be clobbered by calamity, my dear friend. I mean, think of the things that are happening in our world, the virus, disease, infection. But beyond that, death for some, and how sad. How about failure in people's lives? Debt, darkness, loneliness, the grip of fear, judgment, family rejection, betrayal, loss of a job, loss of health, loss of finances, loss of relationships, discouragement, pain, doubt, uncertainty. The list could go on. All of these things confront people. The psalmist knew all about it. In this passage of scripture, we see key number one. It's found in the first three verses. And key number one is that when we come to the point of calamity, crisis, we need to sense God's presence in our life. We need to have a sense of God's presence. Amazing. In this psalm, 21 times, he refers to his God, either directly using the name of God or pronouns referring to his relationship with God. As far as the psalmist was concerned, folks, his God was near. His God was present. He was able to trust him in the time of darkness, in the time of fear. If you'll notice next door to this psalm in chapter 56, there's one of our favorite verses, verse number 3. He says in verse 3 of chapter 56, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Look at chapter 56, go down to verse 11. "In God I put my trust, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." This sounds like a guy that's fearless. Sounds like a guy has courage. You know why he had such strength? Look at verse 1 of Psalm 57. It says, "My soul's trusting in thee." That's where his confidence was. He had found hope and put his faith in the Lord. And because of that, he found safety, strength, security, stability. This is not fiction. This is not some type of distant Old Testament concept. This is the reality for every child of God. As we sense the presence of God, the peace of God can flow. As we are near God, fear goes away. We need a people that are close to the living God. The New Testament says Jesus Christ will never leave us nor forsake us. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are people of God. You know, the sad thing is that many times we talk about social distancing. And right now, that's something that they're encouraging. But sometimes the problem is in a negative way is that we have socially distanced ourselves from fellowship with God. And that's spiritual distancing. And folks, that's not healthy. That's fatal. That's fatal to the spirit of our life. That's fatal to the success of our spiritual walk with God. I'm to have a walk with God, depending on God, trusting in God. Many people like to quote Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and I think it's a great verse. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Great verse. How about verse 7? "Be not wise in your own conceits. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." That's a wonderful verse, but we don't experience the blessing of that verse unless we truly trust God in the time of fear. God's people are not to fear. Joshua 1 verse 9 says, "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." The presence of God, a sense of that presence, drives fear out of our life. Psalm 10, verse 4 says this, "The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." Do you know, child of God, one of the reasons that people are fearful and one of the reasons we don't have safety and strength and security in the time of crisis or calamity is that many times we're distant from the Lord. We may have forgotten the Lord. We may have even forsaken the Lord. We may have not been drawing nigh to God. We may not have been abiding in Christ as the Word of God says we should do. We may not have been abiding in his Word. So when the trouble comes, we don't find that sense of security, that safety net of the fellowship we have with our Savior. When God is near, we shouldn't have to fear. Jesus said, "Except you abide in me, you can do nothing. Except we abide in him, we can't bear fruit." We need a close, intimate relationship with the Lord. We need to draw nigh to God. Doesn't that what James says? Isn't that what James said? Draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. The psalmist experienced the very near presence of God. Even today, I use that verse in Isaiah 41:10. "Fear thou not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. Yea, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Is God present? Do we know his encouraging promises? Are we strengthened by the Spirit of God in us? Or is God distant? Child of God, the reason that the psalmist didn't cave in and wasn't clobbered by his calamities is because he had a sense of the presence of God in his life. Did you know that a cognizance of the presence of God drives fear out the window? It also causes Satan to flee from us. The Bible says if you draw nigh to God and submit to him, Satan will flee from you. We need to sense God's presence with us every second. I believe that the psalmist prayed three prayers. Look at it if you would. He said in verse 1, Lord, hide me. The word there that's used as he describes it, he says, Lord, I trust in the shadow of thy wings. I make my refuge, you, until these calamities pass. You know, we're facing something that is calamitous. Until this thing passes, the people of God should find great rest in their relationship with God. And they should say, Lord, hide me. Lord, protect me. Lord, preserve me. Listen, God is awake. God is here. God is present. He's all-powerful. The best insurance is a sense of the presence of God working in your life. Many people lack this, and so they have a lack of strength, a lack of stability. We get great physical health and great spiritual health by having a sense of the preserving hand of God in our life, the protecting hand of God upon our life. He uses that illustration of under the shadow of thy wings, the picture of a huge bird gathering her young underneath those wings to shield them, to protect them, to preserve them. This is what God does. Psalm 4, verse 8 says, I will lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Proverbs 21, 31 says, safety is of the Lord. The psalmist says, first of all, Lord, hide me like the great bird. Our wonderful Savior is pictured as one who would draw us close to himself and keep us safe. I've told that illustration of the farmer. They had a huge fire out in their field, and it scorched the earth and left nothing but charred embers. And the farmer was looking for one of his chickens from his roost. And the story says that he walked through the scorched field and all he could see was charred blackness. But as he walked through the field, he was kicking things. He saw a lump, a black lump. And he reached forth his foot and kicked it. And he noticed it was a charred body of that chicken he was looking for. And when he kicked that black charred clump of embers, all of a sudden the young chicks came out from underneath the wings of that burnt chicken. The fact of the matter is that was an illustration. In fact, that actually is recorded as actually happening. That the mother, seeking to save her young ones, hunkered down in the flames and bore the brunt of the heat and the fire so they could be preserved and protected. And the psalmist says, my relationship with God, I said, Lord, hide me, shield me, protect me. How about you today? How about I? Psalm 9, verse 9 says, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed. He's a refuge in the time of trouble. Psalm 46, 1, many of us know that verse. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Where do people go when they get in trouble? We should run to the Lord. He's a great refuge. We've been reading in our Bible reading about the cities of refuge. Six on one side, Transjordan, six on the other. A place where people could go for safety from the avenger of blood. The cities of refuge are a picture of Christ. Christ is our refuge. We run to him and Satan can't get us. Circumstances can't overcome us. We run to him and hell can never take us in judgment because he's our forgiveness. The fact of the matter is, do you know for sure this morning that the presence of God is in your life and you've been saved? Jesus Christ is a great Savior. He can keep us safe from the consequences and penalty of our own sins. The Bible says in Psalm 59, verse 16, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense, my refuge in the day of my trouble. Psalm 62, 7 says, God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength. He is my refuge. A refuge is a place of safety. Psalm 91, verse 2, I like, I will say of the Lord, he is my fortress and my refuge. The psalmist prayed in verse 1, Lord, hide me. You find safety in the Lord? In verse 2, he prayed, Lord, hear me. I will cry unto thee, God, most high, unto God that performeth all things from earth. The word perform has to do with the idea of perfection or completion, bringing it to a desired end. It indicates someone who's trusting God for the outcome. Because we don't know, none of us know, saved or lost, we don't know the future. We have to trust God for each step of the way. We don't know what the future holds. But God will perfect that which concerns us. The psalmist said the Lord will perform it. But he doesn't. He takes the time to pray. Remember that song we sometimes have heard? Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? A child of God can't walk with God without prayer. The psalmist here said, Lord, hear me, hear my cry. He lifted up his voice and he sought the Lord and he said, oh God, without you, I'm going to fail. Many times the reason God is distant is because we don't have an active prayer life. And there's something between us and God. Isaiah 59 describes it. Is the Lord's hand shortened that he cannot save? Is his ear heavy that he cannot hear? But your sins have separated between you and your God. Your iniquities have hid his face from you. Psalm 66, 18, we know if I regard sin in my life, the Lord will not hear me. The psalmist here said, Lord, hide me, but Lord, hear me. I cry to you. I pray to you. I'm thankful that the President of the United States declared a Sunday past a national day of prayer. At least he had the courage and the humility and the sense to look beyond earth and see the eternal. Listen, folks, the devil can build walls around us. Circumstances can trap us. But no one can build a roof over our head. We have access to Almighty God. We can pray and say, Lord, help me. And that's what the psalmist does. Notice verse 3. He says, Lord, hide me. Lord, hear me. But verse 3, he says, Lord, help me. He shall send forth from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. The psalmist experienced the mercy of God in his life, the grace of God, the truth of God. God rescued him. God helped him. Oh, that's the hope that the Christian has. Look over there in Psalm 121. Many of you know that psalm. I want us to read it together as a psalm of hope, a psalm of encouragement today, a psalm that reflects the nearness of God, the sense of the imminent presence, intimate presence of God, Psalm 121. Please listen to it and read it in your own heart and mind and meditate on it. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Wow. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. A shade means it's a protection. The sun shall not smite thee by day, the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The psalmist discovered the presence of God, and therefore he felt the peace of God. And because of that, he sensed protection from God and even preservation from God. He says, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming forth from this day and forevermore. What a great psalm. Every young person should learn that psalm. It speaks of the psalm of the presence of God. Key number one, when a calamity comes, is I must sense the presence of God. But number two, notice in verse 4, not only did the psalmist sense the presence of God, but every person who's going to have strength and stability, security and salvation in trauma needs to see God's power. See God's power. Look at verse 4. My soul is among lions. I lie among them that are set on fire. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above the earth. They prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They've digged a pit. My heart is fixed. The psalmist found tremendous security and help. And then he not only sensed God's presence, but he was able to see God's power. What a joy it is to be able to see the power of God, to see God work in difficult circumstances, to see that God is greater, folks, than anything could happen. God is on the throne. We that trust in him find a rest and a repose. We find ourselves secure in that faith in him. Its reality is not just a fictitious theological concept. The psalmist said, if you read in verse 4, he said, the God's greater than lions. It reminds me of Satan the lion. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil's a roaring lion, stalks about seeking whom he may devour. In this case, it was the lion of people whose mouths were out of control, and they were attacking the servant David. He felt like they were going to swallow him up with their big teeth, he says. Well, let me tell you something. God's greater than any lion that came into your life. The lion known as the adversary, the devil. The lion of fear. The lion of doubt. The lion of discouragement. The lion of depression, if that's what it is. The lion of loss. The lion of death. Whatever the lion is, my friend, God is greater than the lion. And we can put our trust in him. He's the great lion tamer. I thank God that our God is greater than any attack that can come to the child of God. In this culture of uncertainty, we need some folks who see the power of God to be greater than the enemy. Remember when Daniel went into the lion's den? He said with great affirmation, not only did he have faith going into it, but his faith preserved him through it. And when Darius came to him and said, oh, Daniel, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee? And Daniel said, don't worry, king. The God in whom I trust has come and shut the mouth of the lion. Folks, we need to have people who see the power of God. God is able to overcome anything. There's nothing too hard for our God. He is exceedingly great in his ability to be in charge. He's greater than the lion, but notice in verse 4, he's also greater than liars and attackers. Their teeth are spears and arrows. Their tongues are sharp swords. And we know that David was under attack. He was being maligned. He was being accused. His reputation was being scarred and marred and mocked. We know he was under intense pressure from people who were led by the devil themselves. But let's take this and translate it into our situation. We have the situation of false ideas and false cures. We have false information. We have what's called fake news. We have a horde of disinformation. Who are we to believe about the circumstances? Who are we to trust? Some people are manipulators. Some want to take advantage of the situation. Some folks are seeking self-gain, self-recognition. They're seeking self-advantage. Some folks out there are cheaters. They'll cheat and lie to get ahead. Many folks out there are absolute phonies. You can't put your trust in them. You put your trust in the Lord. I mean, we heard about the price gougers. They bought some masks real cheap, and then they market them a great price, try to make money off of people in a time like this. I just want to say, dear friend, we're not to be a people panicking, and our ear is not to be tuned to the politician or to the newscast. Yes, we should be wise, and yes, we should understand information and accurately grasp what's going on. But for the child of God, we look beyond the lies and the deception, the phoniness, the shallowness, and we look to the wisdom of God found in the Word of God and the will of God for our life. God is greater than the lions. I would that every one of our people were tuned in with heart, mind, soul, and body to heaven, listening for the voice of God, seeking divine counsel, waiting upon God, believing his word, getting out of Facebook and getting their face into the book, so to speak, and letting God direct your steps. God is greater than lions. He's greater than the liars. Look, if you would, at verse number 6. The psalmist says, they prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They digged a pit for me, but they have fallen themselves in the midst of it. God is also greater than anything that's lethal and can destroy our life. Anything. Anything that to you is a problem. It could be an addiction. It could be an affection. It could be a relationship. It could be a physical thing. It could be a sickness. It could be a health problem. It could be a financial problem. It could be a deep spiritual problem. In any event, it could be lethal to you physically or financially or spiritually. The psalmist says in this great verse, my heart is fixed. I'm not going to let it be my undoing. We have a lot of fear mongers in our culture. There are those that breed fear, and they set it like traps to make others fall into it. Instead of being people of optimism and faith, they dig pits of despair. And they cause people to fall in them and to believe in them. A lady in our church told us that she drove by one of the shops. It happened to be actually a sports shop. And she was shocked because there was a line of people out there trying to get in, waiting to get in, or waiting either to buy ammo or guns, thinking that we're coming to the place in America where there's going to be plundering and looting and vandalism and thieves coming into your house and taking things that they can't find in the store. You know, people are running, panicked, scared. The psalmist said, I'm not going to do that. That which could be lethal to me, I'm going to put my trust in God and believe his power, that he's greater than Satan. We've heard it said, God, Satan is mighty, but God is almighty. That's so true, child of God. Don't let Satan get the victory. God put limitations on Satan. He said to Job, there's my servant Job. You can do what you want with him, but keep his life. God's a great protector and preserver. He has the power to shut things down. He has the power to change circumstances. We know that in our mind, but we have to believe it by faith from our heart. Psalm 21:13 says this, be thou exalted, O Lord, in thine own strength. We will sing and praise thy power. You got a powerful God? Folks, when we have a big God and a powerful God, we have small problems. But when we have a small God, we end up with big problems. Where is our God? Our God is not asleep. Our God is not weak. Our God is not far off. Our God is near. And our God is all powerful. The Bible says in Psalm 21, verse 13, Lord, we will sing and praise you because of your strength. Psalm 68, 35, it says, O God, thou art terrible. You are the one that gives strength and power to your people. You know, God can give you the power to say no to Satan. God can give you the power to overcome fear. God can give you the power to deny self. God can give me the power to not be afraid, to not doubt, to not let depression or discouragement control my instinct and my personality. Psalm 145, verse 11 says, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. Psalm 147, verse 5 says, great is our God. He is of great power. By the way, it says his understanding is infinite. Think about that. Not only must we sense the presence of God, but we've got to look beyond with the eye of faith and see the power of our God. There's nothing that God cannot do. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. God is able. God is all powerful. Isaiah said in chapter 40, many of us know the verse, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the Lord, the everlasting God, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and grow weary. And the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want to challenge you that the psalmist in this great passage was able to face the moment of calamity in his life, the time of trouble in his life, because he had a sense of the presence of God in his life. But he also had a sight for the power of God. And I want you to see, thirdly this morning, this is the third key. Not only must I sense the presence of God, not only must I see God's power, but in the last few verses, and this is what I like, the psalmist ends up singing God's praise. That's how we do it. As I see the power of my God, and I compare it with the power of the world, the power of disease, and the power of Satan, it's so strong, it's so overwhelming, it makes that disease look puny. Therefore, I can have a song come out of my mouth. Look what the psalmist did. In Psalm 57, verse number 7, he says, my heart is fixed. The word fixed there, it's used twice. My heart is fixed. Fixed means to be strong, safe, secure, set, unmoved. Permanent, on permanent hold. It means to be anchored. My heart is anchored on my God. And because of him, I'm not shaken. You know, a child of God can sing. By the way, it's a choice. I want you to know something. Look, if you would, in verse 7. I want you to know that when you get in trouble, singing and praising is an act of your will. Look at it in verse 8. Or verse 7, he says, I will sing and give praise. Verse 8, awake up my glory. The word glory there is another word for inner self. My spirit, wake up. Don't be disturbed. Don't be defeated. Don't be discouraged. Don't be oppressed. Don't be depressed. Wake up, my spirit. Sing. He's saying, I want my soul to wake up and praise God. Notice verse 8. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord. Verse 9. I will sing unto thee. That sounds to me like a choice. It's exactly right. My friends, the psalmist was able to overcome in the time of darkness, in the time of fear, because he determined to sing the praises of God, even as he sensed the presence of God and the power of God in his life. This was a choice of his will. That is, he decided to praise God, to turn the situation around and use as an opportunity to rejoice, even though it's difficult. We've heard it said, I've shared it with you before, a Christian should be like a tea kettle, up to his neck in hot water, still singing. That's right. Don't let these circumstances take the joy out of your life. Choose to give praise to Almighty God. Choose to set your mind on the songs of God, the praises of God. I'm convinced that victory is from the Lord, but victory involves choice. You making a choice to say yes to righteousness, yes to holiness, yes to obedience, yes to the Spirit of God. As I say yes to the Holy Spirit, he brings joy to my life. When Paul and Silas sang in the jail, it was an act of their will. Singing, my dear friend, is an act of your of volition, your choice. I want you to see also in verse 9 that singing is not only an act of the will, but it should be an avenue of witness. And I want to just mention, this is so important. Look at verse 9. The psalmist says, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. This coronavirus is global. It's crushing the country of Italy. It's already done its devastation in China. It's affecting India. What will it do in Africa? What's it doing here on the North American continent? This is a global issue. But the people of God, what are they doing? What are the saints of God doing? While the ravaging scourge takes place, what are God's people doing? The psalmist here said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to sing. And I'm going to do it in front of all the people. I'm going to do it in front of all the nations. I just want to say it's kind of sad to see so many Christians humpty grump and sad and complaining and belly aching and having the same personality like many of the unsaved folks and filled with fear and worry and sweating everything out and finding all kinds of reasons why it's not going to work and it's all going to be bad. It's sad how many Christians have allowed the spirit of the world to control their attitude, their disposition, their spirit. they're just as discouraged as the next guy, just as depressed as the person across the street. They don't reflect the joy of the Lord. Therefore, they lose their testimony and their witness. The psalmist said, I'm going to use my song as an avenue of witness. I want God to use me. Listen, God didn't save you so that you can think the way the world thinks. He didn't save me to act the way the world acts. We're to call out people to be different. The saints of God are to have their spiritual feet on the ground, trusting God at all times. Good times, bad times. This is not some type of human resolve. The Apostle Paul is a beautiful example of this. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And he was in jail. I can do all things through Christ. He gives me the strength. The Spirit within me helps me to overcome fear. Child of God, it's sad to see Christians act like worldlings. It's sad to see Christians with no joy and no peace and filled with anxiety and filled with worry and always talking about this and that bad thing and this negative thing and this horrible thing. Why don't you start talking about Christ? Lift up your voice and witness. Tell something that he's done in your life. The psalmist chose to sing God's praise. It was an act of his will. It was an avenue of witness. But notice, if you please, in verse 10 and 11. I believe also the psalmist chose singing as an act of worship. And it is an act of worship. Our God is worthy. We want to get the attention. We know that people have politicized this whole situation. Near Democrats and Republicans both trying to make points for themselves. How sad. The fact is, the child of God should have one ambition. And that is, I want to get the attention off of me and off of human frailty and off of human ability. And I want to get the attention on someone who's greater than all of this, my God. Somehow we get the spotlight on him. That's what the psalmist chose to do in the last two verses. He says, I'm going to praise thee, O Lord, among the people. In verse 10, thy mercy is great under the heavens. Thy truth under the clouds. He says, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. You know, in the midst of the difficulties, the psalmist said, I want my God to be honored. I want my God to be extolled. The word extolled means to be lifted up. Lifted up above the earth. We should extol our God. We should also, as the psalmist did, exalt our God. I want him to be exalted, he said, above the heavens. At the same time, we should keep expressing the glory of God. My God is great in his mercy. My God is great in his faithfulness. My God is great in his kindness. He's great in his peace. He's great in his power to cleanse people from their sin. My God has the ability to work supernatural miracles. We trust his perfect will to be done. A child of God has to have that faith, or he's going to be just like everyone else. On the borderline of panic, on the borderline of insanity, on the borderline of foolishness. But those who have their minds and their hearts immersed in the Word of God and intimate with their God will be unshaken, fixed, praising God, pointing to him, a good witness for Christ. In the time of discouragement, in the time of fear, in the time of sadness, whatever it is. The psalmist said, no matter what pressures of life come on my life, no matter what storms hit my vessel, no matter what the struggles are, the crisis is, the sickness, the sadness, the emergency, the sorrow, the virus, the heat of battle, I want to glorify God. My God's not dead, he's alive. I want my God, people to know that my God is faithful. My God is powerful. My God is present. My God cannot fail. My God is great. My God is good. My God is glorious. May all the glory go to God. The psalmist had a right focus. He determined to not let the calamity that had come upon his life, his time of trouble, to rob him of the peace and joy of the presence of God. And he took those three great steps. He sensed the power of God. In the middle of that situation, he determined by the grace of God to seek God, to pray to God, to cry unto God. And finally, in the last part, he chose to sing about the presence of God in his life. And I want to challenge every Christian here today, and those that are listening, you and I are not to be the complaining people, the angry people, the upset people, the disturbed people, the fearful people. We're not to be the despondent people, the depressed people. Now is the time to show his praise. Anybody can sing in the daytime. At night, the Christian song should sustain them. God deserves that. God is strong. He's present and real. He's loving. He's able. He's able to strengthen people. He's able to save people. This is a time to share the gospel. Our God is a sustaining God. He's a personal God. Let us, by the grace of God, choose that path. Sense the presence of God. See God's power by faith. God is able. And then sing God's praise wherever you go. Don't let circumstances bite, put a clamp on your lips, and keep your heart or your mouth shut. Talk about the Lord and praise him. Let's talk about Jesus. He's able. Child of God, we're going to stand together. We're going to sing that great song, Trust and Obey. It's page 414. And that's going to be our invitation song, Am I Trusting God? Am I Obeying God? If you and I are going to be different than the way this world is, then every second in the crisis, we have to sense the presence of God. And every second in that crisis, we have to see the power of our God by faith. And in the midst of that crisis, we have to choose to sing the praises of God. I want you to join me, page 414. Let's sing it together, Trust and Obey.
Oh, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the sky, but a smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no but to trust and obey. Then we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
And the final one, then in fellowship sweet,
we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. Where he sends, we will go. What he says, we will do. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Thank you so much, Mrs. McGonigal. Thank you, young people, for singing. Brother Gavin, if you'll come up, I'm going to have you close in prayer. I want to thank the Lord for his goodness. We pray that as we go out today, this afternoon, and as we face the week, and we look to the situation ahead, our ultimate heart trust will be upon our Almighty God, and we'll go forth with courage, with conviction, with comfort, with compassion, and share the good news when we have opportunity. Thank you for being a blessing today. I pray that you and your family are in having fellowship together, that you will be strengthened, comforted, encouraged, that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall preserve and keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus until we meet again.